Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up, Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to download the ESPN Daily podcast. Subscribe to that. Our friend Mina Kimes hosts it each and every day. And, of course, she's going to join us here in just a few moments, so stick around for that. We'll talk some football with her. As I mentioned, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at progressive.com today. Thanks to Martin Jarman for joining us there, the new athletic director at UCLA. He was fun. He was awesome. I also feel like just because he and I are closer in age, I feel like he and I are going to have like a very cool rapport going back and forth. And he's a baller. And at the end of the day, I love me some basketball. So, but we want to talk some football here, which clearly we love as well. But Bergman, before I get that, you're the UCLA guy. You're Bruin boy. Were you excited? Did you like what you heard?
Yeah, I loved what I heard, and I love the fact that he one of his biggest moments was that his team beat USC in the tournament. So yes. You know, it already has that rivalry aspect to it, where he already has like, I hate USC. So that's a good thing. Yeah,
that's a promo right there, Morales. If you're listening, that's a good promo.
Absolutely. So yeah, look, I'm very happy with it. We were talking about it yesterday. I love the hire. I think it's a great innovative hire by them that they just UCLA really hasn't done ever. A lot of countries or a lot of
you're not a huge Dan Guerrero guy.
No, I was not a big Dan Guerrero guy. The hires that he made and the way that the different programs went underneath him, specifically football and basketball, were not good. So hopefully Martin will change all that.
Yeah, for sure. And look, basketball's headed in the right direction with Cronin after winning 11 of their last 14. And, you know, I still believe that Chip can get things done. Like, maybe I'm a crazy person, but I still think he can kind of turn this thing around still. Speaking of turning things around, the NFL is looking to make a big rule change, which we'll get to in a second here before Mina joins us. But did you see this story about the Korean Soccer League?
No. What happened?
Okay, so you know that what's happening in, like here in the U.S., right? We've talked about how Fox and some of these other TV companies will probably try to do virtual fans, and people have either loved it or hated the idea of virtual fans in the stands. Well, in Korea, at like the Korean Baseball Organization, they've put like cutouts of people out there for TV purposes, which also looks kind of weird. But there is the soccer league in South Korea. There's a team called FC Seoul, Seoul, Korea, as in the capital. They took a different tact as opposed to just putting cardboard cutouts of people in the stands. They put sex dolls in the stands. And the sex dolls have advertising on them to order the sex dolls. And let's just say that people were noticing it and were like, what the hell is this all about? And they had to take the sex dolls down. Listen, everybody's trying to make money here. Why can't the sex doll business make money?
Wasn't there there was something in Miami or somewhere in Florida where they were going to have like Pornhub be the sponsor for it?
Yeah, they weren't going to have it. It was never going to happen.
No, but Pornhub
put out a thing where they were going to try to buy the naming rights for the Heats Arena because the Heats Arena naming rights were coming up. And it was never going to happen, obviously.
Hey.
But yeah.
They're going to get money off of it. Like, why not? Like,
yeah, I don't
you think... You wouldn't want to play the Pornhub arena?
I think Adam Silver is very forward-thinking. I don't know if he's that forward-thinking, okay? Like, he's liberal, not that liberal.
Offended? Are you offended by the South Korean team that was putting sex dolls?
No! Everybody's got to make money. Make money, man. Come on.
Right. Is it the branding on it that's the worst part about it, or is it the actual doll itself that's bad?
No, I think the branding made it clearly stand out way more, right? Like, I think there's that part of it. Like, if it would have just been some dolls, you would have been like, those dolls look real lifelike. And then maybe someone would have eventually figured it out. But, you know, you're being pretty brazen there by just putting the advertising on the shirt of the doll. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Did it say, like, lonely, call this number?
But Laura's got a point. What did you say, Laura?
The struggle of quarantine is real, man.
Yeah, do what you got to do. I ain't got no problem with it. You know what I'm saying?
Laura.
Yeah, she's right. Quarantine struggle's real. Not everybody's got a partner. And if you got to, you know, do the doll, do the doll, literally and figuratively, you know? So the NFL is going to make a big rule change. And let's get Mina on the phone because I want to ask her this. And you're listening to KSB in Los Angeles. So the NFL is looking to make a rule change. I do want to ask her about the sex dolls in South Korea since she is Korean, South Korean. But I just like making her uncomfortable, kind of like I do with Trudell. But anyway, and I also want to talk to Mina about the parallel universe. I didn't realize she was big into this. I saw this yesterday and highly questionable. Anyhow, onside kick rule, Bergman. So they're talking about potentially getting rid of the onside kick rule because I guess the percentages of actually converting are only like, I don't know, 10, 15%. Whereas they're considering instead of that, you get a shot at your own 25 to convert a fourth and 15, which is about 20% conversion rate. Would you want that, Bergman, before I get to Mina, who's on the line?
Yeah, the only thing that I think is weird about it is that fourth and 15 is not as long as it was, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. The way that the offenses are now, that fourth and 15 is very doable.
I feel like Patrick Mahomes, I saw this stat where he converted that like 12 times this season. So, right. Yeah, it is a little more, a little easier to convert for sure. But Mina Kimes joins us here. Subscribe to the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes. She's got two podcasts because that's how important she is. She's got a football podcast with her dog Lenny. It's the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny. But before we get to the onside kick rule, did you hear the story I was talking about your folks in South Korea and the South Korean Soccer League? Have you done this story yet on any of the shows that you've been on today?
This is not the sex dolls? Is there a new story?
Yeah, the sex doll story. And look, my position on this is, you know what? It's better than cardboard cutouts. And to Laura's point, Laura, tell Mina what you said.
I said quarantine. The quarantine struggle is real, Mina.
Yeah. Quarantine struggle is real, Mina. And if we got to advertise sex dolls in South Korean soccer to help people, so be it.
Well, I thought Pablo Torre made a good point at Around the Horn when this came up recently, which is that if they're being used that way, they're actually not sex dolls anymore.
Fair point. There's that. Yeah, but there is the advertising on the t-shirt certainly suggested that they wanted more than just that.
Yeah. I got to mix it up.
Yeah. All right. Onside kick rule. You know what? Pause on the onside kick rule, because speaking of television, I did watch Highly Questionable yesterday, and we were talking about the parallel universe and the multiverse, and I had no idea. Now, I know you are a woman of many different tastes, right, and you're very eclectic in the things that you're interested in. I had no idea, though, that you were a parallel universe multiverse dork. So in the parallel universe that was most recently discovered in Antarctica, where is Mina Kimes in the parallel universe?
Well, I think I'm on the timeline that's moving forward, not the timeline that's moving backwards. I will say, I definitely believe in parallel universes. I'm a multiverse theory enthusiast. I really enjoy television shows and movies that engage with multiple timelines. I am definitely grounded in the normal timeline.
I mean, you could make the case. It kind of feels like we're not in the normal timeline, to be honest with you, for a number of reasons.
Exactly. This is definitely the darkest one.
Yeah, for sure. I actually want to see the Christopher Nolan movie that's coming out with John David Washington. Oh. That's kind of like it's inversion. It's basically Inception, but different. Like, it's almost the same thing, but I don't care. If Nolan's in it, I'm in.
It looks good. I saw the trailer today and I was pumped. And I love John David Washington, who is, of course, Denzel's son. Was in Ballers, and I believe played college football, right?
He actually, get this, he had a cup of coffee with the Rams while they were in St. Louis.
Wow, love a good LA football tie-in.
Yeah. So, yeah, John David Washington is great. Like, I don't want to say, like, that he's going to be better than his dad, but, like, he's really impressive as an actor. I think his range is already super-duper impressive.
I agree. Yeah, no, and I'm a big Nolan fan, so I will definitely be watching that.
Now, are you really a Nolan fan, or you just read the Wikipedia of the movies later?
Well, funny that you mentioned that, George. So for those who don't know, we have a segment on HQ from the radio show called Mina at the Movies, where I try to trick the co-host, Stan Levitard, and whoever's with me into thinking I've seen movies I haven't. Well, I saw on Twitter, I want to say a month ago, Chance the Rapper tweeted that he did the same thing. So I wrote to him, I said, Chance, come on Mina at the Movies, and, well, you might want to tune in to HQ today, 1:20 Pacific time on ESPN.
Wow. You got Chance the Rapper to come on?
It's honestly Bergman,
how come you can't book Chance the Rapper on this show? The hell?
I'm very bad at booking people.
I mean, for the love of God. I mean, no disrespect. We just had a very good interview with Martin Jarman, who is the new UCLA athletic director. But, you know, Chance the Rapper. I mean, even Martin would be like, yeah, go get Chance the Rapper.
Mina Kimes asking is different than Greg Bergman asking. Just saying.
All right. Listen. Your job is to book guests, all right? Book the guests. I don't want to hear about this this nonsense. All right, anyway. Mina, we will tune in at 1:20 on ESPN television to see Mina at the movies.
It's very funny.
Okay. All right. Onside kick rule. Where are you on that?
I'm a fan. I think when the AAF had it, and amongst many other good changes that they and the XFL brought on, that was one that I really liked because – if you've been following the changes in onside kicks over the years, they had become increasingly impossible. Although my man Younghoe Koo, the kicker for the Atlanta Falcons, had that one three successful onside kicks in one night game on Thanksgiving. But for the most part, it doesn't work. And what they found is that before the rule changed, so they changed the rules for onside kicks, right, to where you can't line up far away anymore, basically making it impossible to recover. And the percentage that were recovered dropped from, I want to say, like 17 off the top of my head on average to something much lower than that. Now, this 4th and 15 proposal will take us back to about the same percentage success, which is why they landed on that figure. So I think it's around 17-20%. Of course, that's much higher if you've got like a Patrick Mahomes. But I think it's a great idea. You know, the reason this exists at all is so that we can have excitement at the end of the game, so we can have a reason to keep watching, even if your team is down 2 scores, you know, with 5 minutes left, and I think that accomplishes that.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. Like, anything that's just more interesting, and I like when leagues start to evolve and just kind of think outside the box, and this feels like that. And the NFL has been better at it, and you're not going to hit on everything, and that's fine. They did the whole pass interference thing, like challenge thing, and that was a pain in the butt and a disaster, and they got rid of it. It's fine. Just move on. All right. Exactly. Your boy Aaron Rodgers. Now, I got to be honest. You're laughing because we know he's your boy. I was very impressed with the way he's handled the Jordan Love thing. Were you surprised at the tact that he took when discussing Jordan Love recently in a media conference call?
No. He's really smart, and he knows the score. You know, he knows how to deal with the press and express his opinions publicly. And I don't mean to sound cynical. I think he was being honest, you know, and that's why it succeeded when he said, you know, that he was surprised, not necessarily what he wanted, but he's going to do his best to be a good teammate. And also that it's kind of affected his own perceptions of his own timeline and control. I think that's all very true. You know, then the question is kind of, okay, is that actually going to happen? Is he going to be a mentor to him? And also, will this motivate him further to elevate his play? I wouldn't be surprised if it does. So I thought he handled it really well. I still think it was kind of a dubious decision by Green Bay amongst other decisions and context, but I think Rodgers himself really couldn't have put it better.
Yeah, I agree. I think he handled it really well. And I do think it will motivate him. I think kind of like, you know, different scenario because Garoppolo wasn't drafted, you know, that high. But I think that there was some motivation there, I think, for Brady to kind of keep him at distance, for sure. Speaking of Brady, I saw that the Bucs GM was on with SVP yesterday and said that him and Bruce Arians, as in Brady and Bruce Arians, are the perfect marriage. Now, look, Bruce is a quarterback whisperer. You and I have been on the same page that there was real erosion last season with Tom Brady. And do you believe, though, that the combination of Bruce Arians and better passing weapons will allow Brady to look more like the Tom Brady of the past?
I do. You know, I think, I don't think Tom Brady at this point in his career is in that top tier of quarterbacks, but I don't think he is average to below average, which is sort of what we saw last year. He was in a very challenging situation playing with injured and aging receivers who couldn't separate. Now he's in one of the better situations in the NFL, and I think he will flourish. I don't think he has to do that much, honestly. Like, you know, compared to what they had with James Winston, Brady doesn't turn the ball over. I think that's going to just make a massive difference. You know, certainly helps their defense out. I think Chris Godwin, their receiver, I was going to say their number one receiver, but it's really between him and Evans. It was a great fit with him, and I wouldn't be surprised if they put up pretty substantial numbers.
Meanwhile, with Cam, he's taking thirst trap pictures. He's taking thirst trap videos like, hey, look at me. I can still throw the ball. I mean, it's in black and white, too. So, you know, makes it more sexy. If you're him, like, are you worried? Are you just kind of sitting back because of the strangeness of the situation? Like, do you believe he will be a starter? Like, where are you on all of that?
Well, I don't think he's going to be a starter just because of the way everything's shaken out. With all the teams that had quarterback openings, they're all full now. It's pretty clear the Patriots intend to roll with Jarrett Stidham. Chargers, who, you know, Anthony Lynn said they took a look at him, would have been the other candidate, but then they went out and drafted Justin Herbert. There just really aren't options anymore. Maybe Jacksonville. I mean, there are teams that I think would really benefit from bringing him in to compete with rookies, but are so invested, young quarterbacks, rather, but are so invested in those quarterbacks that they're not going to bring him in. And I'm talking about like a Washington or a Denver, you know, because they don't want Cam Newton right behind those guys kind of lurking, you know, and the second they struggle, fans calling for him. It's such a difficult spot for him because he's like too good to be a backup on most teams. And that's a real thing. Like, you think, okay, NFL is a meritocracy. Wouldn't you want, like, the best backup of football? Actually, no. A lot of those teams don't want a backup who would threaten their young guy, which I don't know if I agree with that, but it's how the league works.
Mina Kimes hanging out with us. A couple more quarterback questions, and then I have a big picture question for you. Frank Reich made some comments recently that he believes Phillip Rivers has a couple of years, several years left in the tank. Do you believe Phillip Rivers has several years left in the tank?
And I'm going to learn a lot this season. You know, he signed a one-year deal, which kind of made it seem like he was only going to take one bite at the apple. But I also think the more I ponder it, that he wants to prove that what we saw last year is not who he is as a quarterback. And I believe him. I do. I think, it really fell apart for him in the second half of the season in Los Angeles, and so much of that was a reflection of the offensive line struggles, him kind of trying to force comebacks late in the games and turning the ball over. And if he can return to even a year before the level he was playing at this season, then he should absolutely stay in the league.
I mean, you know, they're always looking for a Monday Night Football booth, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if...
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, he'd be nice in that spot, you know. I know your favorite subject is Dak Prescott and his contract. I'm intimately familiar by looking at your Twitter feed that you love this conversation. So the $45 million stuff seems to be nonsense. At least it's been denied. The most recent report from Todd Archer is that it would average about $35 million, which would put him just below your guy, Russell Wilson. But the guaranteed money, I guess, becomes the question, right? Like, does he get more money than Goff? I look at it this way, and I understand how this works, Mina. Like, I understand as the next guy gets the most, or at least close to the most, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't see him as a guy that should get top three quarterback money. Like, I don't view him in that category. Like, I think he's good. I don't think he's elite. And I think that... I just feel like there's much like there was a real estate bubble. Like, I think there's a quarterback bubble. Like, I think at some point, there is paying a quarterback too much if he's not an elite quarterback.
But you know that top three quarterback money doesn't mean you're a top three quarterback. I mean, as you said, it's much more just about the passage of time and the rising cap. I think Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback, and I think top 10 quarterbacks will and should be paid, you know, at an elite level. I think those contracts, they look bad the first 2 years, but again, with the cap rising, it tends not to look as bad as it goes on. And I also think the Cowboys don't have any other options. They're not going to draft a guy. Everybody says, oh, you got to have a guy and a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, and that's how you win. Well, look at all the rookie first-round draft picks who have failed over the last 5 or 6 years, right? I mean, look at Chicago. Like, would you rather have that or pay a guy that you know is a good quarterback? And Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. I think their mistake isn't giving him $35 million or whatever. It's not getting a deal done last year,
right?
Because he's gained so much leverage over them. And then giving money to, you know, a running back and off-ball linebacker. And I've gone off that about a million times. But this is the Cowboys' era, and he's going to make them pay.
Two more quick ones on the way out. There's a lot of talk about asterisks on champions during the coronavirus pandemic in a bunch of sports, but particularly the NBA. But I've heard people suggest this in other sports because of less games or, you know, just a truncated season in some way, shape, or form. Where are you on asterisks on champions?
I don't think it matters. I think for individual records, like if we're going to look at, you know, I guess a certain player and whether or not he finished first at, in a certain metric that season, maybe. But if we're just talking about championships, the NBA season was almost over anyways. Like the field was set. We're talking about like the eight seeds, you know? Like we, if they go straight to the playoffs, it doesn't change how I regard this season and the result in any way. And I think most people will agree.
I think it actually may be tougher for a champion in any of these sports to win because of the strangeness and unfamiliarity of all of it. All right, last one. We asked this question to the audience earlier, and we've got some good responses so far. What was the game that you were most surprised your team won in the history of you being a fan of a specific team?
So I'll go with the Seattle Seahawks, of course, and the 15 NFC Championship game.
Is that the Packer game? Yes, Mike McCarthy should have been fired on the spot in that game.
Yeah, not great. That one, I definitely figured it was over and all hope was gone. And then you got the onside kick and the punter throwing. I mean, it's just total mess. Every now and then I watch the fourth quarter of that game when I just need a pick-me-up.
Most people go to alcohol or something when they need to pick me up. Mina Kimes goes to YouTube and watches the fourth quarter of the 2015 NFC Championship game. There you have it. So watch Mina today at 1:20 on HQ, and maybe Chance the Rapper will join her for Mina at the movies. Who knows? Thanks for stopping by, Mina.
Bye.
See ya. There she is, Mina Kimes. All right, we are back in 2 minutes. I got something for you. LA. Yeah, your town. Our town was ready to step up to help sports during the pandemic. I'll explain how in just a few moments. We are back in dos minutos. Thanks to Mina Kimes for joining us there. Subscribe to the ESPN Daily and her other podcast, the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny, the football podcast. So here's the NBA news. Mark Stein of the New York Post, longtime NBA reporter and former colleague here at ESPN, is reporting league sources say NBA teams have been informed they would likely be allowed to bring roughly 35 players, coaches, and staff into the quote-unquote campus environment if the 2019-20 season resumes, and in, as increasingly expected, it is to resume in July. In normal circumstances, team travel parties are routinely in excess of 50. And the funniest part about all of that is, as I read the, you know, the mentions, the first comment is from someone who's a Laker fan who says, I vote to leave Rondo behind at Lakers.
I mean, they're not wrong.
I mean, I don't think they're leaving Rondo behind.
I know they're not really.
Yeah. But it's just a funny, funny comment because Laker fans, man, most of you do not like Rondo. So anyhow, L.A. was looking to step up. Do you know what this is about, Greg Bergman? L.A. was looking to step up during the pandemic to help sports. Are you familiar with this story?
I would love to hear what it is.
Okay, so I saw this in the L.A. Times that Staples Center and AEG, right, L.A. Live, expressed interest in hosting the NBA return. And now the NBA decided better of it and felt that it was better to just have things either in Walt Disney World just because it was a bigger venue, and same for Las Vegas just because they have a setup already there. But they were thinking about converting the convention center into courts and facilities, and obviously there's the JW Marriott and the Ritz right there. I think they'd be able to make it happen, but the NBA probably thought better of it in the sense of just like not enough space, right? At least in the Vegas facilities, you have more space, even with the amount of space we have there at AEG and LA Live and whatnot and Staples and the convention center. I think they just feel like there's more room from a hotel standpoint even in Vegas than there would be clearly just with the one or two hotels you have there at LA Live.
There's more than one or two hotels. There's hotels around LA Live.
I know, Greg. I've seen the hotels. I'm talking about if you're going to create a bubble, you're not creating a bubble at the hotels around LA Live. You're insulating around LA Live.
Right. I get it. I'm just trying to think about it. What LA Live is doing, it makes it it does make some sense because there are so many hotels. You can make the convention center and have Staples Center. So, I mean, it wasn't a terrible idea that if it didn't work out in Disney World or if it didn't work out in Vegas.
No, it was smart to offer. Good, right. It was smart to offer. Yeah, for sure. It was smart to offer. I'm not disputing that it was smart to offer or not. But yeah, I do think that I do think the other venues are better.
Walt Disney World is the best. I mean, it's clear.
It's not. And look, Brian Windhorst, Laura, I know we have that sound hanging around there. Brian Windhorst. Actually, you know what? Let's do Mark Lazary first. The Bucks owner, he was on CNBC and he talked about the potential of sites, right? Like he talked about the multiple sites as being an option. He didn't rule out one site, but here's what he said on CNBC.
I think it'll literally be one or two sites. I think just to make it easier for everybody, I think it'll probably be two sites. You know, maybe have the West on the Vegas side and have the East on the Orlando side.
I'm trying to figure out how a championship is going to feel under these circumstances.
You know, look at it this way. If you win, it feels great. So, yeah, everybody's going to talk about, well, it was difficult, it was different, it was without fans. Yeah, but then you're still an NBA champion. You're still the champion, and I think the ratings will be through the roof. Everybody's going to want to see it.
That's right. The ratings are going to be through the roof. You're still going to be an NBA champion. I think it'll be more difficult. But he did also say that it could be one or two spots. I'm a big proponent of Walt Disney World, as you are, Greg. But Windhorst added something on SportsCenter last night that I wasn't at least aware of. Let's hear what Brian had to say.
I don't think Vegas has been ruled out, but for various reasons, I think that the NBA prefers the Disney setup. It's just a matter of whether it all gets worked out. It also is a matter of whether Disney can support all 30 teams, because I think Disney World is going to try to open back up soon. They're not going to have the whole place to themselves. They're going to have a portion of it to themselves. At least that's the concept.
Yeah. So now if that happens, Greg, that changes things. Like, I don't think you can. I think Brian's right. I don't think you can accommodate all the teams if that's the case. We've talked about 25 resorts. But if it's going to be partially reopened, then that changes the dynamics for sure.
No. If it's open, then there's no chance that it works in Disneyland, because they're going to want to put as many people that are paying and going to the parks and going everywhere. And people are going to want to go. So, yeah, it won't work if they open up the parks.
Yeah, so that'll change some stuff up for sure. Real quick, before we move on, because I want to get back to some football stuff, and there's actually a couple of interesting stories out of the NBA, including one superstar saying that he's kind of not in on necessarily playing at the moment, and one guy who is a big-time role player who's ready to walk away completely. We'll have that in the next segment, so stick around for that. But we were talking earlier about a study that was done in Canada about cannabis and the effects of coronavirus and how it mitigates some of the effects of coronavirus. In this study, it gives you, for lack of a better term, right, and just to say it in layman's terms, that CBD, if you smoke CBD, that you will have a 60 to 70% chance of either not contracting the virus, fighting the virus if you've already contracted it, and just basically it is a resource to allow you to be able to lessen the effects. And I think that's fascinating on a number of different reasons because, you know, here in California, it's different, right? Like, I think most people, for the most part, are okay with cannabis and marijuana and just kind of understand the medicinal effects and things of that nature for many, many years, right? So for decades, really. But I do think that it would become interesting to see for those, whether it's here or elsewhere, you know, who have been kind of steadfast on, I don't think that it should be legalized, et cetera. If this becomes something that is peer tested, because right now this is just one particular study and it hasn't been peer tested yet. But if it does get peer tested and it does get proven that this is something that can help you fight against coronavirus or help mitigate the circumstances revolving around coronavirus or help you even contract coronavirus, I'd be curious to see how some of those hardline people would feel. My guess is there would be some real changes there.
Yeah, if it actually does what it says it does, I would think that most of the country would be like, all right, well, I guess we got to legalize it now, because if it's going to stop or help mitigate the virus – you have to, right?
Yeah, yeah, I would think so. Like, I sure as hell, that'd be the way I would feel. I'm curious to see how people feel at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, we've been asking this question earlier in the show. We asked it of Mina a few minutes ago. Having some fun, only because I was watching this game yesterday. I was watching Lakers-Blazers Game 7 on NBA TV, and it really is still one of the most surprising outcomes I've seen. And, you know, they were down 20 points or whatever it was, and they came back to win. They went on to the finals and obviously ended up winning the finals with Shaq and Kobe. But I was just asking, like, what was the game you were most surprised your team won? It could be any sport. Well, hit us up at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, coming up next, I mentioned the stuff in the NBA, which is interesting. We have a superstar and a big-time role player who are a little iffy about playing all of a sudden. And the Raiders, they're not Los Angeles, Las Vegas Raiders. I almost said Los Angeles. You probably wish they were Los Angeles. The Raiders are getting the best of the Rams and Chargers. I'll explain what that means. Stick around. We're back in less than 3 minutes. Sedano over here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Ben Lyon's going to come up in about 10 or 12 minutes, and we'll do our movie review with him. We've been talking yesterday, obviously, about the top presidents, fictional presidents in TV or movie history. We'll have that. We'll talk all sorts of stuff with Ben, too, from a sports perspective. But if you're missing basketball, tune in Sunday for an NBA Classic Game 6 of the 2016 Finals between the Warriors and Cavs, presented by Home Depot. Coverage begins at 5 Pacific on ESPN Radio, here on ESPN, on 710 ESPN and the ESPN app. So, Laura, you said that the callers were asking about the specific story that we were talking about when it came to cannabis?
Yeah, so they were, this guy called and he says, hey, I think the story's great, but I have asthma, so I can't smoke. Can we use the drops or can we intake it a different way?
Okay, so it says here that there are 800 strains that they tried. The commonality is in the strains that they used was that they were all high CBD, very low THC. They did say, though, that eventually they could develop the ability to extract the CBD and even use it in liquid form, even things like mouthwash or throat gargle products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, eventually. I don't know if that's the – they didn't do the study that way with liquid form as of yet, but they are they seem fairly confident that they could do something like that. But again, this is all just in a study phase at this particular point. But yeah, I guess eventually they feel like they can get to that point. So let's go to the phones. Mitch is in New Jersey. Mitch, what do you got?
Hey, guys.
George, hey, Mitch.
So, the Kirk Gibson is too easy. And it seems like the basketball's been a long time. But when the Clippers came back from the Knicks, it was a great game. They first made that trade, the last trade, that I think that would put them over the hump if the season ever starts. And one thing about the CBD, I don't know, God, when is that vaccine going to come, but do they have this in pill? Because I can't stand the smell of smoke and smoke. That's just me.
They don't have it in pill form, I don't believe, right? Like, I think that, I know you can do it in the
have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it. I think
it is in a lot of different forms.
Right. Liquid specifically.
Right. Like, I take a tincture every single day.
And a tincture, for those that don't know, is like a drop.
Correct.
A dropper.
And it's just a drop. And you can get it in pill form. You can go in. They have it in lotions. They have it in
Yeah, tea. I know that it's infused in lotions. Yeah, I do
right,
know that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's plenty of different ways to take it where you're not going to.
Yeah, but you got
to
make sure you're getting the real stuff. There's a lot of fake stuff out there on the marketplace. Like, you got to get it from somewhere that is legit.
Right. You have to get it from a shop and you have
and
to
nor am
do
I
a
suggesting,
little research.
Nor am I suggesting anyone get anything. What I'm simply saying is that this study says that. Now, granted, it's one study. It hasn't been peer-reviewed. I am just genuinely curious as to see if people, and I'm not suggesting anyone go out and get anything, I'm just curious as to see if people would consider, who have been hardliners against cannabis, would consider it if that indeed was proven to be something if that study was proven to be factually correct, is my point. So, again, I'm not telling you to take anything. So let's make sure we clear the air on that. I'm not doing that.
Told me to get high.
No, I did not say that at all. So anyway, Darren in LA. Darren, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I got you, bud.
Okay, yeah. So I got a few of them, but I'll give you one or two if you want.
Okay, give it to me.
One was, I say about 15, 20 years ago, Dodgers versus the Padres. Dodgers are down by 4 in the ninth inning with 2 outs against the all-time closed leader at that point in time, Trevor Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned the radio off, man. It was 2 outs, 1 out to go, down by 4. They hit 4 consecutive home runs and then go extra innings and hit, and Garcia Parra hit a home run to win it in the 10th.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, what, you found out later that happened or no?
Yeah, I found out later on the news.
And what was your reaction?
I didn't believe it. But no, you that's never funny. Know.
That's funny.
And I also remember another one where the Lakers were down at 30, and D. Fisher hit the 3 to make it 27 to start the fourth quarter against Dallas Mavericks, and they came back and won that game.
Gotcha. Thank you, Darren. Stay safe, man. Appreciate it. You know, it's funny. I'm getting some tweets. I've gotten a number of tweets about Derek Fisher and the shot against San Antonio, like that people thought that game was done, like that they weren't going to win that game. And, you know, Fisher hit the shot. Yeah.
The .4 game was incredible. Because you have to think about it. Because Tim Duncan, Kobe comes down, hits a shot to give them the lead. Then Duncan hits a shot, allowing only 0.4 seconds left on the clock to take the lead. And then Fisher did that little point. Oh, it was amazing.
And then ran off the floor. I'll never forget watching that game. I remember exactly where I was. I was at the house of a girl I was dating and watching the game with her and her parents. And it just was on. It was on ABC because I remember Al Michaels did the game. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. Even I was like, I jumped out of my seat. I was like, holy crap. I can't even imagine what it must have been like to hit that shot if you're Derek Fisher.
I was at Fox Sports Radio and I was doing editing, and Tom Looney was on the update desk and I was in the same room as him. And so he was doing the update live, and that happened. And I jumped up and I slammed the wall and I dropped a huge F-bomb while he was doing his update. So that's where I was.
Yeah.
I was young. I don't know. What do you want me to say? I was just so excited.
Yeah, that's a quick way to not stay in the radio business if his if his door was open. Anyway.
It was the same room. Wasn't even the door open. We were
Oh, my God. Good Lord.
I can't follow that.
Yeah. Good Lord. By the way, Raider boys, so here's some interesting stuff. I saw this. The Raiders in Las Vegas have raked in nearly $550 million in PSL sales for Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, dwarfing both the Rams and the Chargers to this point. This is why, and I know that there was a lot of things at play here, okay? But this is why I said, if you would have just let the Chargers go to Vegas, they would have accepted anyone. And maybe they don't have that kind of money coming in, that kind of cash flow coming in, because the Raiders have a bigger national brand. But the Chargers would have been in a more financial, a better financial situation, more financially viable situation had they been there. And the Raiders and Rams would have been raking in the cash here in LA. Like, I'm a hard proponent of that. Like, I will not get off that stance.
No, Raiders fans, they will go out in droves. They don't care where it is. Raiders are very much a part of L.A., so they'll go out to Vegas. They'll go up to Oakland. They'll go to San Diego. It doesn't matter. Having them in L.A. would have been the right choice.
Yeah, yeah. I still think – and I think the Chargers would have been more financially viable in Vegas. Like, I do 100% believe that, because they didn't have a team, and they would have embraced any team they had there. Really? You don't think so? Come on. If a city doesn't have a team, stop that. You're just being Raider boy again.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's the Chargers. I just don't think that they have an appeal. Unless they do a complete rebrand.
If a city doesn't have – I mean, Vegas doesn't have a lot of professional sports to begin with. They have hockey, okay? If they would have had any football team, the fans there would have gone to watch the team.
I mean, you're saying that they have fans. I don't know. It's just a little –
The people in the city would have galvanized because they had an actual football team. It didn't matter who it was going to be.
I mean, they did for the Vegas Knights, but it's still the Chargers.
Oh, for the love of God. speaking of not embracing things, we talked about James Harden earlier saying he wants the situation to be a little more the coronavirus situation to be more minimized, were his words. I just don't know how practical that is. Like, there is going to be a situation with risk tolerance here when it comes to the coronavirus. And look, maybe Adam and the NBA Players Association, because it seems overwhelmingly that the players want to come back and play, will be able to talk him into it. But if he doesn't want to play, like, I get it. Like, I'm fine with it. But I think the league's going to move on, much like what we talked about. Much like we talked about with Kershaw and Trout, I would do that too. I'd be like, all right, I get you don't want to play. We respect that. We're moving on. Joe Ingles of the Jazz said recently he's ready to move back to Australia and just walk away completely if that's the case. And again, I respect it, but I just think that, okay, then the league's going to move on without you in that situation.
Yeah, no, they really are. Wow, I'm shocked about the Joe Ingles one, though. I mean, he's an excellent shooter. I just can't imagine, wow, just walking away from it.
Yeah, I respect it, though. I respect it. Like, I respect him saying, forget the money. I've made enough money. I'm walking away. I respect that more than anyone else that's talked about this to this point. Like, I, in all honesty. All right, so Ben Lyons is going to join us next. We'll go around the horn with Ben Lyons on a number of different discussions we've had today. Plus, of course, our weekly movie review with him. And this, LeBron. You thought he was done with hot takes. He's got a hot, spicy hot take for you about the NBA and basketball. We'll tell you what that's all about in 2.5 minutes.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any one of our interviews today, Martin Jarman, the UCLA AD, and Mina Kimes were on with us earlier. You can check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. It's brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that may look wrong with your credit card, sends alerts to your phone, and helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. And if you're missing baseball, tune in tomorrow for an MLB Classic, Game 5 of the 2017 World Series between the Astros and Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 5 Pacific on ESPN Radio, 710 ESPN, and the ESPN app. So Ben Lyons joins us here now for our weekly movie conversation. Ben, before I get into the movie stuff, there are a couple of things we've been discussing today. Number one, give me the game, okay, that you as a fan were watching, that you were most surprised your team won.
Oh, it's John Starks dunking over the 90s Bulls, over Michael Jordan, over Scottie Pippen, over Horace Grant. That poster was on every New Yorker's bedroom wall of my age group. The fact that the Knicks went up 2-0 on the Bulls, like that was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I that's a good one. I would give you that, even though,
and
it is
thanks to The Last Dance, we all saw how that movie ended.
Yeah, not so good. Not so good for you.
But that's what makes sports so great, right, George? And that's why we want to see the NBA back, because none of this is set in stone. Yes, the Lakers are top of the West, but we want to see them go out there and play a young New Orleans Pelicans or a young Ja Morant. I mean, another shot from my fandom over the years, Allen Houston hitting the runner in game 5 against Miami. I always love bringing that moment up when I'm on the phone with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those moments that make sports great, when the underdog has a shot, when Dikembe Mutombo gets to cry holding the ball in Seattle. Like, we love those moments as fans. I'm glad you're talking about them, because I've had few and far between over the years, because my teams aren't heavily favored often.
All right, so let me ask you this. On the flip side of that, there's been some momentum, obviously, for the NBA to get back. You know, it seems like overwhelmingly that most of the players and coaches and the league wants to get back going, and we're headed in that direction. However, there have been some interesting conversations recently from a couple of different players, one who is a superstar in the NBA, and James Harden, who says that he'd prefer to do it when the coronavirus situation minimizes itself some. My position on that is, while I respect it, if he doesn't want to play, I would respect it and I understand it. But I think the league is clearly going to move on without him. And I also think that's probably not very realistic, Ben, because I think that Adam Silver, if there's anything we can talk about Adam Silver, is that he does his due diligence, right? Like, he is going to be very thorough when talking to health officials and the governments that are involved and things of that nature, on trying to make it the most safest environment that he can. And I think that I just don't think there's a perfect scenario here for James Harden. And if he wants to walk away, so be it. But how do you feel about him walking away and what that would mean for a potential playoff scenario if the NBA is missing one of its top 5 or 6 players?
It's unfortunate. I totally understand it. Everyone's got their own issues with this crisis that we're facing collectively as a people. Heard you guys talking about my guy Joe Ingles earlier. You know, he's somebody
with a child with special needs and is approaching it from that perspective, a family that's international and being away from family. Harden, you know, has his own thoughts about it. And it would be a shame if guys of that level, both superstars or starting integral parts of a team competing for a championship, didn't feel comfortable. And you said it absolutely right, George. There is no perfect scenario. The league will do its best to be due diligence, to take into consideration as many of the players' perspectives as they can. As I seem to do every week on my appearance on your show, George, I'm applauding Chris Paul for him being vocal and front and center and out there having a dialogue representing the players. That's why you have a union. Well, I still don't know who that player is in baseball who's leading the collective voice of their union. But yeah, I mean, look, there's going to be debate around the validity of this championship and what type of championship. Some people are saying it provides more of a challenge for teams. Others are saying less so, obviously. But everybody wants to see James Harden in the playoffs, especially if you're a Laker fan, because you know how James Harden performs in the playoffs.
Ben Lyons joining us here. A couple quick ones on basketball, and then I have a football question for you, and then we can get to our movies. So on basketball, there's a story out there that the Brooklyn Nets are interested in trying to trade for Bradley Beal. My initial response to that is, okay, get in line. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of teams interested in trading for Bradley Beal. Also, I look at it this way. Bradley Beal may not want to play third fiddle on a team. Like, he could probably be, like, he's not the number one player on a team, but could he be like a 2A or 2B on a team? You know what I mean? Like, where the second best player and him aren't that far apart. Could he be that kind of player on a championship contender?
He could be a player on a championship contender who doesn't need the basketball and doesn't need the offense to run through him at all times. And that's exactly what he would be in Brooklyn. Yes, Brooklyn, get in line. Everybody wants to trade for Bradley Beal, but Brooklyn has some really interesting pieces. If you think about it, with Jared Allen or, Spencer Dinwiddie, or you throw in DeAndre's contract somehow. I mean, there's some ways they could kind of put something together that might be interesting. Joe Harris, right? So I love the idea if I'm a Nets fan of Bradley Beal. And I think his personality and selflessness of like, seems like the dude he is, first, second, third, that's all like stuff for you guys to debate on the jump. Like, this dude just wants to play in basketball games that matter in May and June. And if he came to the Nets with a healthy Kyrie and KD, I think that would make them the favorites in the East next year for sure.
So LeBron was talking about on Uninterrupted. I mean, clearly he's talked about a lot of things on Uninterrupted this week. But the most recent thing was that came out was the Dream Team versus the Redeem Team. The 92 Olympic team of Jordan and Bird and Magic in that group versus LeBron's group with Kobe and Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade and all them. Who do you got in a mythical matchup?
You know me, I'll always ride for Olympic Melo. Anytime you get the three-time gold medalist in the, on the squad, I'm in. However, I was lucky enough to be old enough to remember the Dream Team. I put up some photos on my Instagram this week of rocking all the Team USA gear from 92. Like, that's, you know, guys like me, you, Greg, like, we remember that time period so vividly and how dominant they were. And you go back and you look at the highlights. I mean, they're not even breaking a sweat, right? So it's like, I'm going with the 92 Dream Team forever. I think they're the greatest basketball team ever assembled. I know we just saw them get defeated in Game of Zones. However, I'm going to ride with 92 over that 08 team and even the 12 team. You know, I think the 12 team, it came down to the last minute against Spain in the gold medal game in London. So, you know, it's the competition internationally has gotten so much better since 92, obviously. But Charles Barkley said, I was like, I don't know. What do you say? I don't know about Angola, but I know they're in trouble. Yeah. I'm going with that 92 team forever.
Yeah. I don't know. It's close to me. That 2018 was the team that played Spain in the gold medal game, too. And that was the close one. That's the one that Kobe and Dwayne Wade basically saved the team in that fourth quarter with the way that they were handling the ball and scoring the ball. You know, that actually is one of the moments that LeBron was criticized back then in 2008 for coming up, quote unquote, not my words, but the words that were used were coming up short, I guess, in that situation where Dwayne and Kobe had to kind of step up and take the gold
LeBron,
medal away.
LeBron was criticized for not being absolutely perfect in 2008.
Yes, yes, of his,
Deep run into the playoffs.
Yes. That was the case. So anyway, all right, football for you, and then let's get to the movie review real quick. So I've said that the Raiders, there's a story today, the Raiders have raked in $550 million in PSLs in Las Vegas. That's more than both the LA teams combined. I've always said that if the Chargers were the team to go to Vegas, that Vegas would have embraced them because they just wanted a team. Now, maybe they don't make as much money as the Raiders did because they're a national brand, but they would have been more financially solvable there, or soluble, excuse me, there than they would be here in LA. Where are you on that?
The pride of the local Vegas community is unmatched, George, and sports fans need to be reminded of the UNLV teams with Jerry Tarkanian and how that city really took pride in that team and came out and had Gucci Rowe, right? You think of the hockey team in their first season going to the Stanley Cup and just the pride in that city for hockey. When we all go to Vegas to party, we all have a great time and then we leave our mess. Well, there are people there who clean that up and they take great pride in the work they do and the community they built. And when they had the Las Vegas Chargers, there'd be bolts up and down the strip.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. Yes, the Raiders brand is so regionally strong, and I do have images on Sunday morning of these caravans of black and silver cars coming from all over the West, like Mad Max, like into the desert for Raider games now in Vegas, right? But I think the fan base there was just ready for something local and something Vegas, and they're going to take great pride in it. And you're going to have a lot of the casino people giving out tickets for guys who go on like Pai Gal runs late at night or right. have a blackjack right. run or whatever, right? So it's going to be such a crazy scene if we ever get to have football with live fans again. So anybody would have had success in Vegas.
Okay, agreed. Less than 2 minutes here. Top five today. Top five fictional presidents. Who are they?
I'll save the list I made of real presidential performances for another appearance. But at number five, Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact. Ooh. Go back and watch the scene when he's doing a live address to the nation explaining that a meteor is coming to Earth and we're going to be annihilated. It's only Morgan Freeman could have pulled that off. At number four, it's a wacky performance, but Kevin Kline and Dave playing the president who's in a coma and then is replaced by a regular lookalike. It's got a great cast with Ving Rhames and Laura Linney and Ben Kingsley as the vice president, Frank Langella, who played Richard Nixon. He's in the film as well. Go back and see Dave. At number three, Bill Pullman, Independence Day. A lot of great one-liners going toe-to-toe with Will Smith, fighting aliens. That's what you want in a president, George, is a president who will take on aliens.
Yes.
At number two, he also went to University of Michigan in the movie, so I love that. I'm going with Air Force One. Harrison Ford playing President James Marshall. Gary Oldman is so menacing as
get off my plane.
Over. He takes around Glenn Close is directed by Wolfgang Peterson, who did so many great movies in the 90s. And at number one, I think it just might be my personal favorite, a movie at the White House or about presidents. It's very comforting. Michael Douglas, the American president, plays Andrew Shepherd. He falls in love with an environmental lobbyist played by Annette Bening. Rob Reiner directs. I love that movie and I love that president. So I'm going with Michael Douglas at number one.
Ben, you're the best, brother. Thank you so much for the time. Stay safe. Have a great weekend.
Rest in peace. All love to Jerry Sloan. Love to the team in law. One of the all-time legends, Hoopers, showing love today. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
All right, man. See you. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to Mina. Thanks to Martin Jarman, who joined us, the UCLA AD. Listen back on the podcast. Thanks to Greg and Laura and all of you who tuned in and called in. We love you. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Have a safe, happy Memorial Day. See ya.